We see what we're potentially gonna be. Potential ain't. All right. Potential get us all fired.
Rustling around some papers in the beginning of this, I'm sure of it. Thank you for downloading the Arizona Bird Gang podcast. Find at sports360az.com, azcardstock.com, iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
It's AZ Cardstock, Joe, not Cardstock.
Cardstock, it's a website that
we stalk the Cardinals and then we talk about them.
What it feels like, anyway. It kind of fits. Makes sense.
I miss you, Docket.
I miss you. Dude, oh my, I don't want to talk. I noticed this thing.
If you have to think about it, just don't.
I'm going to do it anyway.
There's even a pause.
Did you ever notice, have you ever seen people, it's people I follow too, that it kind of, that would actually fit really well for too. Like, do you ever see people on Twitter will sometimes write players and get like a little creepy with it? Creepy? Like, hey man, I, like they go all, I'm going to, I don't know if you know this song. They go all Stan on them. Eminem song. You don't know the Eminem song?
Nope. Stan?
Okay. You're what, 22? 22.
You 22 don't, years young.
You don't know Stan? All right, well, they go Stan. You really? The song that Dido turned into a song?
Oh,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
the
yeah.
Dido song?
Okay, first of all, it's Dido.
Oh,
Dido.
It's not my problem.
Burrito Dido.
But yeah, so maybe I should let some of those guys, like when they do the whole creepy stalker thing, be like, hey, you guys want to write on this website? Seems to apply to you. Anyway, I'm Joe. With me is Tyler Nickel.
Yes, that's me.
It is Wednesday evening. Cardinals off of a big-time three-point win by the skins of their teeths. Victory over the Houston Texans.
Teeths?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Three-point win should have been 10, but hey, a win is a win.
A win is a win. A win is a win. A lot of people very angry in the win, though. A lot of people very angry, and you know why.
Rashard
Mendenhall. Rashard Mendenhall, Bruce Arians.
Let me preface
Arians.
This with something really quick. I was at the game with the Bird Gang fan club.
Yes.
Maestro himself, Mario.
Yes. Did and you sit with him?
I did.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and I sat.
Was he sober this game? Or?
And anyway, so we were talking, and I was... I was completely sober, by the way.
Ah, all right.
But you should. I just felt like getting under people's skin around me.
Oh,
by
God. You're never going to be invited back,
like,
are you?
I don't know. I think.
Were you negative?
I thought it was
negative, Tyler?
No, I was actually very. I was yelling things like, "Oh, get that guy a contract extension!"
Oh, to Mendenhall.
About Mendenhall.
Every
whenever
time
he had a 3-yard run.
Yeah, that's not the positive that people want, though.
See, but I'm just keeping it positive. That's all. I'm uplifting the spirits of Cardinals fans around me. That's all I'm doing.
Get that guy a contract. Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that he's not going to be back next year. But the problem is he's playing too much this year, according to everybody except for Bruce Arians.
And you know the funny part about that is he won't be back next year, but that's only because Steve Keim is the general manager and not Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
If it was Bruce Arians,
mm-hmm.
it would probably be another 3-year contract for old Rashard.
I don't know if I think he's loyal. I don't know. I need to tap dance a fine line here. They're doing well as a team. Something is being done correctly. So I can't argue too much. I mean,
they're winning. They're 5-4.
They're winning the games. They're winning games that I did not previously think they would win in the beginning of the year necessarily. Obviously, as the season has gone on, you know, you kind of looked at Atlanta and Houston to say, you better damn beat these teams if you want to compete.
Due to injuries and things like that.
But yeah.
You couldn't foresee that before the season.
No. And to this day, even right now, Houston has, what, 2 wins? They're on like a 5-game losing streak?
Yeah, they're on a torrid streak.
I still view them as a very good team. And I do, especially with Case Keenum.
They had the number one rated defense in the NFL.
Yeah, how do you have the number one rated defense in the NFL? And now you've got Case Keenum slanging the ball all over the place like Drew Brees.
Yeah,
he's slanging the ball.
No.
He puts... Dude's just throwing
no.
it. He's the king of first halves in the last 3 weeks.
No.
He's like... No. Case Keenum is good.
I can't believe you just said
Case Keenum is going to be back next year.
I'm done. Yeah, he probably will be.
Here's an argument.
Say he gets
here's an
else.
Argument. Let me ask you this. Would you take Case Keenum as your starting quarterback here next year?
I'd take him over Palmer. But. It actually, you know what? I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I would not, just because of the system the Cardinals run. I don't think Case Keenum would be very good at slinging the ball 30 yards down the field like Carson Palmer can, which whether he's done that effectively this year is up for debate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's disputable.
Yeah, it is.
To be quite honest.
But I don't think Case Keenum could do any better.
I don't know if you noticed this. I'm trying to do something with my...
Yeah, I don't really know what you're doing, to be honest.
Trying to put that on the ground, but I can't get
it
done.
Just leave it alone.
I can't get it done the way I wanted to, like I typically do. That's all right. No, I would. I think he's
is Case Keenum.
I think he's going to be.
From what we've seen from Drew Stanton, is he any better than Drew Stanton?
Yes, Case Keenum. Yes, I think Case Keenum is going to be around for the rest of this season, and I think he's going to be the starter next season, and I think he's going to be the reason why Houston doesn't go out and sign themselves a top end quarterback. And I think
so. What do they do with Matt Schaub then? They cut him.
Yeah, who knows? Who cares? He's not going to do anything. I don't want him.
You don't?
No.
Well, I would take him over Carson Palmer.
There's too many quarterbacks coming out in the next draft, though.
Well, sure, but assuming they don't draft one, assuming they decide to go left tackle and pass rush and tight end in the first three rounds.
I'm going to say again this year what I said last year with the pass rush. We don't need it. We do a good enough job, for whatever reason, scheming it. And I know we've as a team blitzed more than any other team.
Yeah.
Provided more pressures. One of the most sacks, total sacks, but the defense does not need to be addressed in the first round of the draft.
I don't agree. Simply
you don't.
Because I think they still lack a premier outside linebacking pass rusher. I mean, you got Calais Campbell. He's the one getting the double teams now. You bring in an Alden Smith for that Justin Smith. Look what happened. Mm-hmm. You bring in an Alden Smith for Calais Campbell? Oof.
Well, your pass rusher is going to be the outside linebacker. And, I mean, we've got John Abraham this year. And, again, John Abraham's not a long-term guy.
Exactly.
But over the last few games, he's got, what, 5-6 sacks?
Yeah, he had 3 sacks last game.
He's got 6 sacks, I think, in the last 3 games. He's doing what we need him to do, at least for this year.
For this year.
And for next year, maybe.
Why not bring in somebody that can play in nickel situations, third down situations, and learn under John Abraham and play across from him?
And then we got a guy who...
I personally don't see Sam Acho as a premium pass rusher. I see him as a...
No.
I see him as a two-down outside linebacker at best.
We do a very good job of generating pass rush, though. That's what I'm happy with. We do a very good job...
Scheme-wise, yes.
Scheme-wise.
But think if you could throw more guys back into coverage, not put all that pressure on a Jerod Powers, who's constantly picked on, not need premier safeties. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu obviously has been very good, but not need another premier safety because you've got so much depth up front.
I hate to say this. No, I don't. Very good things happen when you rush Tyrann Mathieu, when you have him in the pass rush.
Why would
rush.
You hate to say that?
No, I don't hate to say. Because I'm not trying to compare him to a premier pass rusher.
No, he's not.
That's the only reason why I hate to say it.
Yeah.
He's a small guy. But man, good things happen when you get him in on a pass rush. And they do it a pretty good amount.
Yeah, they blitz him off the edge when he comes down out of the free safety position. Johnson comes in, plays safety again, and then he moves into the third corner position. That's in the slot. That's when they blitz him.
Yeah. So as far as his numbers, I mean, he's got a couple sacks on the season. It's just he does a very good job. He gets a lot of hurries. Actually, I think I have some stats right here. I'll just pull up. Let me see what I got.
Rustle that paper a little
more. Rustle that paper around. I don't know if I have that particular. He's got 10 total pressures this season. 1 sack, 2 hits, 7 hurries on the quarterback. I think that's more than any other slot corner safety in the league, or one of the most at least. So, you know, I think we get it from a lot of places. All I'm saying is Case Keenum. Let's go back to just the idea that Case Keenum, and the Texans and the offense under with Case Keenum at the quarterback position. I know they it's been 3 weeks now that they've played, but he's played against the Cardinals, who have one of the best defenses, KC, who's got one of the best defenses, and then I don't remember who else. But I just because the Cardinals, to me, they won this game pretty convincingly, with the exception of that Mendenhall
doofus drop fumble.
To me, the Texans are still one of the I do think they're one of the better top 16 teams in the league. I just think that Matt Schaub was a huge issue. And now I'm talking the Houston Texans with Case Keenum.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
I think they're a top half of the league
but
team.
But if you're going to say that, I honestly think they're actually the third best team in their division behind the Colts and the Titans. I know the Titans lost to the Jaguars last week, but with Jake Locker healthy, he's not. Obviously, he's out for the season.
No, I still think the Texans are a better team.
You do? Okay.
And at this point, who knows? Let's see what happens with the Colts with how they've been playing. I mean, they had a rough time against... They beat the Texans.
Blown out by the Rams.
They barely beat the Texans the week before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to have one of those phenomenal comebacks that, you know, you don't want to have every week. And...
That's what... Okay, let me rephrase. They're not necessarily the third best team because that division is so volatile.
Yeah.
So they could be the best or they could be the third best. They're not the worst. That's for sure.
No, they're not the worst. Jaguars. So, yeah, I don't know. My point of this is I think this win this week for the Cardinals was a better win than maybe it gets credit for. I don't know. Maybe it's getting credit as a good
win. It was a better win than the Falcons win.
Yeah, it's a better win than the Falcons win. That was just a happy win. They did what they were supposed to do against that team with their lack of playmakers that they had. They did what they were supposed to do, and it all worked out. So, you know, I was happy to see, obviously, Rob Housler start making some plays and Andre Roberts kind of get back on the field again.
Robbie Housler, first touchdown in the NFL.
Ripped the monkey off his back. I don't know if it's off his back. Just one good 50-yard game and a touchdown isn't
going to... We were talking about whether or not he'd even be back next season. I mean, I think it's still up for debate.
There's still seven. I mean,
still seven games.
You know, to think about it, I'm sure he will be back next season. I mean,
just because he's under a rookie third rounder contract.
Yeah, he's under a rookie third rounder contract. So yeah, he. I'm sure he will be. Maybe we're a little out of line to say that, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted somebody else in the third round.
If they draft somebody else, he's gone.
Well, I don't know that he's gone. He's just going to get buried.
Okay.
He's going to get buried in the depth chart. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to cut him necessarily.
I think they would cut him. They would just cut him. Because they want to keep Dre because they use him in so many different situations.
I think he's
their best blocker.
Yeah, I think he's been on the field still more than Housler has.
Yeah, and then I don't know what the future is with Ballard, but he's looked pretty good so far. And Bruce Arians was raving about his game against the Texans.
And he's only 25, right? 25, 26. He's a pretty young guy. I don't think he's very old. I'll see if I can snatch up the stat on that one here.
They'd probably have to re-sign him to a relatively small deal, I would assume.
Yeah, I don't imagine he's going to do all that much. I mean, you know, he might, as long as he produces something.
Right.
I mean, as long as he shows some productivity, I think he could get re-signed.
Then if they draft a player in, let's say, the third round, I mean, it's not going to be another seventh rounder like DC Jefferson or somebody. We're talking third round.
Yeah. I definitely say Jake Ballard's an upgrade from DC Jefferson at this point.
Oh yeah, that was.
I was disappointed too because I actually held out hope for DC Jefferson. He was somebody that we drafted that I kind of was very intrigued by, but man, I mean, he just
this draft so far has been awful.
Yeah, I mean, other than draft. Andre Ellington and I mean Andre Ellington and Tyrann Mathieu are turning out to be two of the better rookies in the league. So
right. But, I mean, it's okay. So, I mean, if you take those two into account and how good they've been, it makes the draft look good.
It evens it out.
But then you got Swope, not even in the league anymore. DC Jefferson, not in the league.
He'll never play for anybody.
No. Watford, so far, he's a project fourth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Okafor's out for the season.
Oh, God, yeah. Minter can't get on the field, but that's because Dansby.
He's buried.
That's because of how well Dansby and Darrell Washington are playing.
Right. So I don't fault him for that.
I can accept that.
I honestly, with how well Dansby's playing, he's going to get a pretty good-sized contract, even though he's getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the Cardinals bringing him back next season because he's only on a one-year deal. I think they plug in as long as Washington's not in prison. Washington and Minter
I checked some news on that this week. I went to the Superior Court the docket, the public website, and I was able to see that it seems as though Darryl Washington is his court case is getting pushed back until end of January, which is good because I was last telling you that
might
I
have
saw,
missed some games this
well
year?
I saw it was going to be like it looked like it was the last one was November 20th,
right? So he would have missed games.
Yeah, he could have potentially, depending on the outcome of it, and hopefully he did nothing wrong. Hopefully it is found out that he did nothing wrong and he winds up playing football again.
That's a dream at this point.
And
that's,
you know,
best case scenario,
and doesn't have to face any criminal penalty. But anyways, that's not going to come to fruition until the end of the season, it looks like. Somewhere between January, and I think it's even designated to go as late as March, but end of January. So as long as they're not in the... I'm sure they can make the argument, hey, my guy's here, going to be in the Super Bowl. Can you push it back another week? Because that's the only way he's, you know, going to miss a game is if it's the Super Bowl.
But back to our point,
yeah.
Cooper's out for the season.
Cooper gone. But that's good for next year. Think about it for next year. Two first-round draft picks.
If you want to look at it like that.
How nice is that? We're going to have two first-round draft picks. He's walking around on a boot now. As long as he stays...
That means we had zero first-round draft picks this year.
We did. We did have zero first-round draft picks this year.
That's a weird way to look at it.
We had none. When did we have a first-round draft pick? In training camp?
And then our next first-round draft pick, he'll have 1 year less on his rookie contract, by the way.
Oh, Cooper?
Yeah.
Well, so... C'est la vie. I don't know what to tell you.
That's why you can't look at it that way.
Yeah, but it's
so true. This draft, when you look at it, has actually been pretty awful, other than the two home runs they seem to have hit with Ellington and Matthew.
And then there's two other productive players, Tony Jefferson.
Undrafted.
Undrafted. Yeah, but I'm still calling it our rookie draft class.
Okay.
Consisting of...
I'll give you that.
Tony Jefferson and Jerron Brown have been... Jerron, he plays well when...
When he's called upon.
When he's called upon. And that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
He's not lights out. He ain't killing it.
A rookie undrafted free agent.
But he's...
That's all you can ask for.
You know, when Steve Breston is sitting at home thumb wrestling with his cousin. I'm just making that up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume he has a cousin and he's probably thumb wrestling in front of the TV watching football.
It's possible.
That's what I do.
By the way, I brought this up the other day. Andre Roberts on the last year of his deal. And who knows if they decide to bring him back. I honestly don't know. Because I don't think he's going to cost too much just because his production's so down this year due to the two wide receiver sets they always run.
Mm-hmm.
What if they let Roberts go and brought Steve Breston back to play the slot?
Well, they could bring him in now.
Right, but they Roberts brought is him still in playing.
Well, they could have brought him in before week one. I mean, I think he was cut. When was he cut? By the Saints? By the last round of cuts?
Yeah, I want to say yes. I think it was before the season started.
I don't think they'll go back with Breston.
I don't either, because there's no ties there anymore.
Yeah, there's no more ties.
I mean, Wizenhunt's not here anymore.
I don't know what he's... I like Breston.
How would that be? He was a good player.
He was a good player. The Chiefs saw fit not to keep him around, but that was because he made a lot of money.
Yeah, that was a contract issue.
I'm sure if they called him up to make minimum right now, he'd probably go, but nobody's
easily
calling him.
All day.
Nobody's calling him. I know it's hard to get called in the middle of the season, too. It's a little bit more difficult. I don't know.
Fitz Floyd and my boy Stevie Breston. Stevie Phantom.
2 weeks ago during the bye week, I posted a question of how many 1,000-yard receivers are we going to have? And I kind of thought that Fitz and Floyd were only off pace by a little bit. Now, after this week, it's going to be zero.
It's going to be a big...
There's
going to
be... Are we going to have 1,000-yard receiver or 1,000-yard rusher? No, right? No chance.
I mean, unless Arian starts actually running Ellington.
And he just frees him? Hashtag free Ellington's him?
Yeah.
We're not going to have 1,000-yard nothing.
No.
The last double 1,000-yard receiving combo was in 2009, and that was three. That was Fitz, Anquan, and Breston. They all had they had all had 1,000 yards, and that's the last time we had two. We actually had three, which was pretty impressive. So, what do you have up? What do you have on the agenda? What should we? What do you want to talk about?
Well, Bruce Arians actually said after the game. I know this has been on a lot of the local stations lately, but he said Rashard Mendenhall outside of the fumble. So we got to preface it with that.
He did say outside of the fumble.
He did say outside of the fumble.
Okay.
Had his best game as an Arizona Cardinal.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he had a couple good runs. I know he had a screen pass that he caught, and he brought that out for like 12 yards or something, and then he had like a 9 and an 8-yard run. But if you look at the numbers...
Do you have the numbers?
I do.
Okay, because I was going to pull them up right here.
I got them.
Good.
13 rushes for 42 yards. That's a 3.2 average.
That is... Okay.
That's extremely average, is what that is.
Okay, yeah.
That's extremely average. No touchdowns. The fumble, I think you have to take the fumble into account. I mean, it happened. And it almost cost him the game.
Yeah.
And his numbers against Detroit earlier in the year, against the Lions, were far better, actually. He's never had a game where he's rushed over 70 yards, which is unthinkable considering Ellington had that in one run.
Yeah.
But I just don't see Mendenhall as having his best game. Did you see that in this last game against the Texans? I didn't see it.
No. I mean, that's... God, if that's his best game...
I'd like to see his worst.
I'm curious what he views as his worst game. If this week was his best game, all right, yeah, take away the fumble, which you can't take away the fumble because right. The fumble's there. The fumble's the most glaring thing about the game was that fumble, which, you know, Ryan Williams did that last year that almost cost the Cardinals the game against the Patriots, which, I mean, that was really bad too. Ryan Williams was a young guy, though. Was that last year or 2 years ago? Last year. That was last season.
Yes, it was.
That was last season. No, if that's his best game, then, I mean, he's... I've been trying my best to not actually be overly critical about the Mendenhall thing, even though I should be, and so should everybody else.
It's easy to be.
It's easy to be, and I've been trying my best to kind of go, they seem to be doing something correctly. But the problem is, there's got to be a better option. And I know you don't want to get Andre Ellington hurt. I know you don't want to do that. But I can't see why you wouldn't want to, you know. And then now you're looking at having two rookie running backs carrying the workload. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's worth the risk.
I think I think that whole he doesn't want to get Ellington hurt is more of a media contrived opinion on why he doesn't play Ellington. I think it's more for the pass blocking aspect of it, and that Mendenhall's a better pass blocker than
Stephon Taylor, though. And the pass blocking, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
So I understand that.
It's a big deal, but
Stephon Taylor is probably
similar,
though.
Given how much better of a runner Ellington is, he has to see more snaps and he has to see more carries, because Mendenhall actually had two more carries than Ellington, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just ridiculous. If he's there if he's a better pass blocker, then have him pass block more and carry less. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me.
I do know you don't want to every time Mendenhall's in, you know it's going to be a pass,
right,
guys.
Right.
I mean, I know
but
you can't.
13 to do 11.
That.
It should be more like 6 to like 18.
I'm just trying to pull up a stat here. Apologize.
That sounds like a better ratio to me. So that way, he still gets a few runs in if you're going to play him at all, which that's up for a whole different conversation. But if you're going to play him, he still gets a few runs in for the threat that he's going to run. But most of the time, you know he's there to pass protect.
Do you know who has the most fumbles in the league?
As far as running backs go?
Running backs.
I do not know. I could guess.
Take a guess.
I can't guess.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Okay. That would have been...
No, it's Rashard Mendenhall tied for first.
With who?
We got Rashard Mendenhall on his 105 attempts 105 attempts. That's not that much at this point in the year to be fumbling three times. To Jamal Charles's three fumbles on his 170 attempts. And then Adrian Peterson has fumbled three times on 170.
That would have been my guess right there.
173 attempts.
Just because of how many times he runs the ball. That would have been my guess.
There's one other guy that also has three fumbles and who's having a horrible year and not getting any productivity is CJ Spiller.
He's on my fantasy team.
He's on my fantasy teams too. Two of them. He's of those guys, of those gentlemen. He's got the least amount of productivity to show for it at 323 yards rushing. At least Adrian Peterson has got 786 yards rushing. And Jamal Charles, 725.
Isn't that amazing that at over halfway through the season, we're only going to have a handful of 1,000-yard rushers in the league?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know.
It's really weird. I don't like it.
No, I don't either. I don't like it either.
There's way too much passing in this league.
Way too much passing, especially for a team that can't pass.
Exactly, right? Like, if you're the Vikings, why are you not handing it to him 30 times a game?
Yeah, and he's the only running back in that group that doesn't have a 20-plus yard rush. And Adrian Peterson has a couple 40-pluses. So, I don't know.
So, what's your opinion with all this? You know, now Mendenhall, he's defending Mendenhall, saying this was his best game. He defended Carson Palmer when he was throwing all those interceptions, saying it was the receivers running bad routes. Has your opinion of Bruce Arians changed since he became the head coach?
The thing is, I can't disprove him on the route running. I can't say that's wrong, you're incorrect, because I don't know. I don't know what route they're supposed to be running.
Okay, fair enough, but I can. I mean, there's times where you'll see defenders just sitting in a zone. Just standing there, and he's waiting for the wide receiver to cross, and he throws it at the worst time, and it gets picked off.
Which one are you talking? I'm picturing
he's thrown the second most interceptions in the league. How can you defend that? I mean, it can't all
Who,
be
Carson
the receivers.
Palmer?
If without even looking at tape, anything.
So here's my thought process with Carson Palmer. He's got what, 15 interceptions now? 16? 17?
Yeah, 15.
Still second most in the league.
He's the only player in the league to have thrown at least one interception every single game so far this year. Not even Eli has done that.
At this point, having Carson Palmer as the quarterback, I'm okay with. And I'm trying to word this so I don't get screamed at. I can't think of, God, how do I want to word this without getting killed? It's Carson Palmer's fault on most of these interceptions. And you're right. You can tell most of the time. There are a few where I've seen, like, Jim Dre is running a route where he's supposed to continue on.
And he just sits down.
And then he sits down as Carson's throwing.
And it's hard to know what that route was supposed to be.
You know, and that is the one interception that I look at. That's, like, one of the few. Because there's only I'm not angry about interceptions. I think we talked about this last week. Where he's downfield and he's trying to fit something in. And it's second and long. Whatever. Chuck it. Have fun. Go long. I don't care. Throw it, you know, because we do have a defense that can hold up. So try and make some plays. And I know that the other train of thought is be the Alex Smith. Don't make plays.
And just check it 3 yards down the
field.
Just
check it 3 yards down the field. Let our superstar punt and kick coverage
teams.
You know, do what they do. And I get that. I just, with Carson Palmer at this point.
That's the way I play Madden.
What do you good field position? You can't play Madden.
No.
You can't play the field.
Dump it off and let my superstars get yards after the catch.
No, yes, that I thought you were talking about punting. I was like, you better not be. You
can't punt on first down, Madden.
You can't be punting in Madden, or else you'll lose
first down.
You'll lose to everybody.
So you're that guy that goes for it on like 4th and 15.
No, okay. I will go for it on 4th and 3, depending on where it's at in the game.
Okay,
second quarter, if I can see I'm having a hard time stopping. Yeah, I got to go for
right,
4th and 3.
Right. I'm glad we're on the same page
on
this one.
I mean, I just...
You're not one of those guys.
No, I'm not automatic. But depending on how good the other guy is, yeah, I'll start going for it. Because, you know, Madden, 5-minute quarters, man. You got to treat every minute like it's the fourth quarter, you know? It's always the fourth quarter in Madden.
Anyways.
So, anyway, Carson Palmer, I'm actually... Here's the thing. I actually don't think... You're gonna kill me for this. I don't think there's a much better quarterback right now that this team can have as their quarterback.
I'm not going to kill you on that at all.
And here's why. Carson Palmer's throwing a lot of interceptions because he's trying to make something happen. He's trying to make something happen. The guy's 33, 34 years old.
On a few of them.
He's on his last leg. He knows this is it. And if they can make the playoffs, if there's one guy that can help them out, make, I mean,
this will be the last team he ever plays for.
This is probably going to be the last team he ever plays for. When it comes playoff time, this is the quarterback that I want, and I'm gonna try to sell you on this, and you might not be.
He's
sold.
Never won a playoff game.
I know.
Try and sell me on it, knowing that.
And I'm not saying Carson specific, but his type at least. If they make the playoffs, they're really not better than too many teams when it comes to offensively. They don't have the...
They're worse than almost every team that's going to make the playoffs.
They don't have the horses to do it. You have a guy on his last leg that's basically... He's going nowhere. This is his last team. He's not going to play it safe. He's going to try to make something happen. I'm kind of losing myself here, but he's trying to make something happen. This guy, he's not going to play it safe. He's not going to, and I know you can't always play that in the NFL. You got to play it safe. But if somebody's going to try to make, I mean, a lot of these interceptions, I mean, you're talking inches. It's off by inches. And that's where I'm at right now.
Inches win Super Bowls.
Inches win Super Bowls. If he's going, God. I know somebody's going to destroy me on this. Because when you talk about Russell Wilson is the quarterback I want. I love Russell Wilson. He's like my favorite quarterback in the league.
Okay.
Are you not sold on Russell Wilson?
I love him too, but he's not the one I'd choose as my quarterback.
Who would you choose?
Aaron Rodgers. All day.
Really?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's not even close.
I have a lot of Packer fans, friends that hate him. He's kind of like a
little bit of a douche, but other than that, I would, as a quarterback standpoint, oh my gosh, yeah.
Let me retract what I was saying. He's not my favorite quarterback. He's not the best quarterback, but for what's out there right now, I think he's somebody that is going to really lay it all out on the table when it comes time. That's all I'm saying. That's the bottom line. Think Carson Palmer is going to leave.
Imagine starting quarterbacks do you know in the NFL that aren't going to lay it all out on the line?
Play it safe? I don't know.
A
lot of the young guys might be like, I don't, you know, this is a big,
I don't see that.
A big play, you know, a big time scenario, playoffs.
Griffin, Luck, Kaepernick, Wilson, I don't think any of them would do that.
I don't know.
There's only a few play it safe guys. Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Ponder, like.
Oh, don't hold on. Don't use Kaepernick. Kaepernick is like the worst quarterback in the league this year.
He's been bad, but
he has been.
I don't.
Bar none, statistically,
it's a sophomore slump.
Yes, and it's something I've been talking about. One of these guys is going to have a sophomore slump. Unfortunately for us, the 49ers are a good enough team to overcome it.
Right.
I don't know.
They still lost to the Panthers at home, and we beat the Panthers in our arena.
That's the thing. Stadium. The Cardinals have been playing a lot of last year playoff teams, a lot of them, and they're doing well. They're fighting. You know, I'm pessimistically optimistic.
Wait, that was awful.
I am pessimistically optimistic about the end of the season. Either that or I'm optimistically pessimistic. I'm not sure. But it's one
or
the
confused.
Other.
Confused. I think you're confused.
I don't know how to view the rest of this season. I'm going to move on from my Carson Palmer talk just because.
Bruce Arians, my whole has your feeling, opinion changed on him or no? From when he got hired.
No, he's outspoken. I want to see a little bit. I want to see a little bit more of it.
He's outspoken, but what he's saying, are you buying it?
About Mendenhall?
About everything?
Well, Mendenhall's been
all
terrible.
These things he keeps
Here's
saying.
The thing: Mendenhall's been terrible every single game. So if this what he views as the best game of the guy's season so far, have fun. I guess maybe.
I mean, it still wasn't a good game.
Wasn't a good game.
His best game was still not a good game.
Yeah, if he's saying this was his best game, okay. If this is the best you've got, you might want to start looking somewhere else. And that's why I'm trying to give him another couple weeks because I want to see if Stephon Taylor comes in. I'm kind of excited about the idea that Ryan Williams... I'm sold on sitting Ryan Williams every week, by the way. Sold on it.
Wow.
Yeah, there I said it. I'm sold.
I'm definitely not.
Are you intrigued? Let me intrigue you. First of all, the guy... Ryan Williams was, he rushed himself back even in the play in the preseason. He probably didn't really want to go out in that fourth preseason game and play. Probably still didn't feel that comfortable anyway. Probably didn't. He sat all preseason, didn't want to play. The coaching staff was kept saying, yeah, well, you know, they're kind of hemming and hawing and trying to tap dance around the Ryan Williams. Why isn't he playing? Is he hurt? Well, he says he's hurt, you know, kind of thing. So the guy wasn't real comfortable. He's still a little worried about the knee. So right now, you know what? He's getting rest time. He's working out. He's resting.
No.
We've got good running backs that could be playing right now. We do have good ones that could be playing.
Yeah, Ellington.
We have Ellington, who's being obviously...
How do you know you don't have another secret superstar in Williams, though? Imagine
here's
that.
I have played this scenario out in my head to where he's going to be available and forced to be available in the final 4 weeks of the season. And he's going to be fresh, and he's going to be healthy, and he's going to play... He's going to play out the stretch, and he's going to be... And that's...
I think...
I'm holding tight.
Unless
that's the way
there's
I
an
see
injury,
it.
Arians is sticking with Mendenhall.
Rashard Mendenhall's got to get injured. Come on.
Wow.
Come on. The guy has to get injured. He has to.
Well, he already has been. He had turf toe. He was out for the week.
He's not going to be able to uphold the workload that Arians gives him. I mean, it just... I don't know. I think he's going to wind up playing... At some point, I do think he's going to see the field, and when he does, he's going to be rested, and he's going to be better for it. That's a positive spin on it that I've come up with.
All because right. I'll buy that. I mean, I don't agree, but I'll buy the positive spin you're putting.
Yes,
on it.
Yes, that's the positive spin. I'm not saying it was the right call all year long. Again, he says he doesn't play special teams. I think Ryan Williams says, if coach wants me to play special teams, I'll play special teams.
I'm beginning to think Ryan Williams never plays a regular season game in a Cardinals uniform again.
No, I don't know. I think we'll see him. I think we'll see him by the end of the season. I don't know when. And when we do, he's going to be healthy. And I think he's going to be able, I think he will play well. That's my positive spin. Again, he's not going to see the field anyway, so why bother activating him? He's not seeing the field.
Well, he should be. That's kind of the point.
And yes, I would love to see Ryan Williams, Andre Ellington. Stephon Taylor, Andre Ellington. Because at this point, Mendenhall ain't cutting it. But he's good in pass protection. We need pass protectors out there, too.
Alphonso Smith's just as good as a pass protector as Rashard Mendenhall, by the way.
God, he fumbled the ball and never saw it again. So
He hasn't even played a snap since then.
I don't think I've seen him on the field.
He hasn't. Well, special teams. But he hasn't played as a running back for a single snap since that fumble in the San Francisco game.
Jeez.
That's doghouse right there.
Yeah, he's definitely the
doghouse. But Rashard... He fumbled in a just as critical of a situation, and now he's going to play next week and start. I mean, that's bias.
And the thing I'm trying to do is...
But Rashard's a veteran.
I'm just trying
He's
to...
He's got veteran presence.
I'm trying to hold on. They're doing well. They're trending in the right direction. I'd like to see them... I mean, like I said about this, the rest of the season is I'm pessimistically optimistic about it.
I still don't know what that means, by the way.
It means I'm optimistic, but I'm heating caution.
Okay.
Because this kind of is an exciting time. I mean, you look at the upcoming schedule.
Jaguars.
There really aren't a lot of teams that they shouldn't be able to beat. But there really aren't.
It's the Cardinals.
That's the problem, and that's the pessimism. It's the Cardinals. They'll find a way to not beat these teams. But it is a different year. The only consistency from last year is, well, everything. Bad offense, good defense.
It's the same season.
I mean, if you really look at it, though,
what's
the offense
different?
Is
Beanie
offense,
Wells and Rashard Mendenhall.
No, Rashard Mendenhall is better than Beanie Wells. He's better than Beanie Wells.
I don't know that.
He can push forward. He can push. He can get a 2 yard push.
He had third and one, and they had to kick a field goal because he couldn't break the first down line.
That was a bad play.
And Bruce Arians tried to defend it by saying, oh, he tried to go for the home run by taking it out the back door.
I'm not defending Rashard Mendenhall, and this is hardly a defense. He's better than Beanie Wells.
I don't agree.
It's hardly a better defense.
I mean,
it's hardly
better,
a defense.
He's better just because he can pass protect, and Beanie wasn't a great pass protector. That's it.
I feel he runs harder.
He's
and
not
I'm gonna
a better runner.
I'm going to go with that he has more broken tackles this year than Beanie had all of last year.
Okay, but... who cares?
You know what? That's all I'm saying.
If he's not turning those broken tackles into big gains, who cares? He breaks a tackle and gets another half a yard. Whoa.
Let me see if I can find.
I mean, really?
Any broken tackle statistics.
We should move on.
Move on. Where are we? Oh, okay.
Pro Bowlers. I mean, we're 9 games in now, Joe.
And I hate this. I don't like where we're at with this and the way that this is done. I don't like that we have to vote and identify our Pro Bowlers at the midway point in the season.
It is what it is.
It is disappointing.
So let's talk about Pro Bowlers, though.
Okay.
Why not?
Let's talk.
I think let's just go over the guys from the Cardinals that are there. We both think they need to be in the Pro Bowl.
Okay, let's start on the offensive side of the ball.
Offensive side. Okay, we're done.
Okay, we're done. That's it. Let's move
Andre
on.
Andre Ellington is a guy, obviously, many people are going to think, oh, he should be in the Pro Bowl. No, sorry, guys. He hasn't had enough playing time. And maybe it's not his fault that he's not going to make the Pro Bowl, but you can blame Bruce Arians for that. I don't care. He's not a Pro Bowler yet.
No, he hasn't done enough.
And it hasn't been consistent, whether you think that's his fault or Arians' fault, which it's pretty much Arians' fault. But
yeah. Are you seeing now? Here's one of the magic questions, the million-dollar questions. Is Larry Fitzgerald a Pro Bowler?
No.
No, he's not.
He's not. He made it by the skin of his teeth last season only because Calvin Johnson bowed out due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I just don't see it.
No, he's not.
He's not a Pro Bowler.
He's not a Pro Bowler.
Which is really sad to think about.
I don't know where. I think he's like 40th in receiving yards in the league.
Yeah.
He's not the guy he used to be.
Speaking of Larry Fitzgerald, did you see his dad's tweet the other day?
I'm out on and his family.
Oh, I am too. But his dad tweeted, I saw something to this effect anyways. This isn't verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a very talented player on the field blocking as a tight end on this past Sunday.
Yes.
And I kind of thought to myself, a very valuable player blocking as a tight end for a team that won.
Yes. You're talking about a team that, based on your son's blocking ability, has actually helped them win games. What he did, what you've just suggested that he did, has been part of the reason why they've won the past 2 weeks.
He's basically saying, I don't want my son to do what the coaches say, even if it helps him win.
I mean, it's his son, so I kind of get it, but at the same time...
If my son was a star wide receiver in the NFL...
Problem is Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is a professional too, and he's got his own business that he's a professional. I mean, he's a professional writer.
He's not.
Is that not what he does for a living?
Let's not use the term professional.
He's a professional.
Okay.
That's what he does for a living. He's a writer. And he apparently knows nothing about how football games are won. I mean, and unfortunately, yes, it'd be great if they could get Larry in one-on-one matchups and get him the ball, it'd be great. It ain't happening. Why can Case Keenum get Andre Johnson, who's a year older than him, the ball? He's turned him into... He's rejuvenated the guy's career. Case Keenum can get Andre Johnson the football, but Larry can't. Is it the double coverage? Is it... Does Larry need to go up against more Darrell Revis's, where they go, okay, we'll just put Darrell Revis on him, and then we'll just get him the ball?
They played that game.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Larry had the touch. You know, had a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, is that what it is? Is it about?
I getting think it's him, a mixture of all of it.
Getting him up against the Richard Shermans and say, don't worry, Richard Sherman can handle this all by himself because one superstar isn't as good as two mediocre guys pinching him and doing. You know, is that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the situations are, but you know, Case Keenum is just. He's completely rejuvenated Andre Johnson's career in the last three weeks,
yeah.
And Larry Fitzgerald still can't get that many. I don't know.
Okay, so he's not a Pro Bowler.
No, he's not a Pro Bowler.
So defense. I mean, those are the only two I think people would argue for on offense, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Larry and Ellington, and neither maybe. Of them are
and
going.
Neither of them are strong argument. No. You don't have a strong argument on either
not
guy.
Not really. Okay, so defense. Or let's do special teams for defense, because defense is the glaring one. That's obvious.
I mean, special teams, you could take... You can find three right now. You
can find three. I see two that are very obvious. Dave Zastadil, punter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, I mean, yeah. The guy is unbelievable. Always getting the ball down inside the opponent's 20-yard line.
Yeah. He's,
and you got Justin Bethel. Who, he's one of the best gunners in the game.
Who's being called the best gunner in the game, nationally recognized.
Yeah. He's been amazing.
Pro Football Focus had him as, they did an all-star team. All Pro Bowl team or whatever. Yeah, you know, yeah. Not Pro Bowl, but just if there was one team.
Superstar team.
Yeah, a superstar team, if you will. And Justin Bethel was the gunner on that team.
As he should be.
Yeah. I don't know. I could also make an argument for Jay Feely at this point. Argument.
Yeah, I don't think...
Mr. Consistency this year, especially, I mean, nobody's going to care about how he was perceived in the preseason.
Right, because preseason doesn't count.
He went from almost losing his job to... He's 17 out of 18 of his last...
He's been really good. I don't think he'd make it over some of the other NFC kickers, but...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's a good kicker. I know...
Steven Hauschka's done really well up in Seattle.
Has he? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who's doing well. I just know that young Jeezy, Greg Zuerlein of the St. Louis Rams, if I had to pick a kicker to be my kicker, that's the guy I'd kick.
Yeah.
I'd pick. That's the guy Zuerlein. I would pick. I don't know if that makes him the Pro Bowler. I don't think that he's had enough opportunity this year, but he's got about the strongest leg in the league, and he hits a lot of big ones. So that's who I would pick. But there's an argument to be made for Jay Feely. That's all. And people like him.
Yeah.
So he's one of the more well-liked, personable, Twitter-friendly guys. Yeah. So I could see him getting some votes. So I don't know.
All right, let's go defense.
Okay.
I think the shoe-in is Calais Campbell. I mean, I don't think there's a Cardinal fan out there that's going to say, nah, I'm not. No, he needs to be in the Pro Bowl.
He could easily be, as far as the Cardinals' defensive MVP, I could say... There's a couple guys you can put in that. I mean, what's great about the Cardinals this year is how many guys have stepped up in mm-hmm. different situations. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk consistency, you know, whistle to whistle, quarter to quarter, sideline to sideline, whatever, he seems to have been at least him and he seems to be the most consistent to me that doesn't really ever have any holes or weaknesses that he's had so far this year. Where at least some guys like Dansby, it's been phenomenal. He's had some issues in coverage. He's mm-hmm. also got his hands on a lot of balls, too.
Mm-hmm. And not caught him, though.
And not that's caught him. But that's not expecting him to, but God, some of them he should have. I mean, some of them are just like,
that's okay, let's
close
just
this
move,
game out, Dansby.
Let's just move to Dansby. You've okay. already done it. Pro You're bowler like, or no? That's a tough one.
It is tough.
That's a borderline one. He's played, I think he's outweighed expectations for everyone. I think he's...
To me,
gone beyond expectations.
You know, and it doesn't mean he's the starter, but
No. Need, just make the Pro Bowl.
You know, three inside linebackers, depending on, obviously it depends on what scheme the Pro Bowl is going to play. Is it going to be a 3-4 defense, 4-3? If you're going to be a little top heavy on inside linebacker, I'd say yeah. I'd say.
Okay, so Darrell Washington then. Keep in mind, he missed the first four games of the season.
So here's the problem with this. We're voting in weeks 8, 9, 10. He was out weeks 1 through 4.
Right.
Is he, to me, and this is the thing, he might be the best inside linebacker in the league all around.
Maybe.
I mean, I think you can make a really good argument.
I think you could too.
That he's the best.
I don't think he is, but I think you could definitely make an argument for it.
Yeah, especially in the scheme. I mean, in every scheme, I think he would be great even in a 4-3. I think anywhere you put him on the field, I think he's a phenomenal football player. But the problem is, the Pro Bowl is based on what you've done over the 8 weeks, and if you've only played 4, I think he's. As a homer, yes, and as somebody who watches it, basing it on how he played last year and how he's continued it exactly the same, has not missed a step, you're right. Going to say he is still continuing. I'm going to say yes, he's a Pro Bowler, and I'm going to say yes, I can't say over Dansby, my God, you know, they've both been playing so well.
He really can't.
And their statistics.
I mean, he's a better player than Dansby, there's no
he's
doubt
a better,
about it.
Yeah, he's, especially at this age.
I think Darrell Washington... Just as a little side note here,
Yeah.
I think Darrell Washington is better than Dansby ever was, even with his first time around in the Cardinals uniform.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I don't think that's a ridiculous thing to say at all.
No, I don't think so at all. And I think we could tell that pretty much in Washington's rookie year. I think we knew he was going to be really good.
Special.
Because we knew. I remember watching him in his rookie year. That was 2011 was the year we got Cobb here, and you know, excitement was high. Didn't have Dansby. And watching him in that first week, it was the same year.
I thought he was 2010.
No.
Oh, well, okay.
No, that was the year. That was his first game. I remember thinking, damn, he's a good replacement for Dansby. Wow, we lost Dansby, but man, this guy's a good replacement. And then you start watching a couple weeks later, and you're like, wow, this guy might be better. You know what? That was a good call letting Dansby go for all the big-time money. So. Yeah. I think Darrell Washington probably overall is going to wind up being a better player as long as he could stay on track, keep himself out of prison. Keep himself out of prison. I don't know what to tell you. He's got court or jail, whatever. Whatever he's looking at. I don't know what he's looking at. Whatever he is, make sure you're available next year for football.
Make sure you're available.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you have a $10 million signing bonus to collect.
I mean, if you've got, if you've got some jail time to serve, hurry up and serve it in the off season. I don't know. Whatever. If it's going to have to happen, if it comes down to it.
No, I think if he gets sentenced to prison, he's
done.
Getting cut. Yeah. And by the way, his rookie season was 2010.
What?
Yeah, I was pretty sure of that.
You were sure of that? Yeah. Which one is 20?
The bottom one right there.
That was his rookie season. Was that it? Okay, but let me ask you this. Was that the first year we didn't have Dansby? I believe so. Whatever it was, they never played together.
Yes, he left after the 2009 playoff run where we lost to the Saints.
Who was our quarterback?
Kurt.
In 2010. Oh, that was
in 2010. That was the Max Hall, Derek Anderson experiment.
Either way, I knew we were happy with who we had. I knew we were going to be happy with him. He showed pretty early.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, so next player. I mean, so you're yes on Washington. I'm no.
You're a no.
I don't think he's played enough. He missed the first four games. I don't think you can put him in when you're voting right now. If you were voting at the end of the season,
yeah,
possibly, depending on how he finishes the season and everything.
All right, who do you got next?
Tyrann Mathieu.
I'm going yes on Tyrann Mathieu.
Me too. I'm yes.
And I've got my stat sheet to prove it.
Let's hear it.
All right. Tyrann Mathieu has had 18 tackles in the run game. And in comparison, I know he's listed as a free safety, but the problem is he's been playing
corner.
That's mostly corner,
which
mostly slot.
Let me cut in really quick. That is another reason why I think that strengthens his case for the Pro Bowl, is that he can play safety and corner.
He can play safety, he can play corner.
He does everything at those positions. He can blitz, he can cover.
So as long as you are looking at the cornerback position as the slot corner,
mm-hmm.
not, okay, we're going to have Richard Sherman, we're going to have Peanut Tillman, and then we're going to have Patrick Peterson, which we'll get to next.
Right.
Or whatever, If you're trying to vote based on having him as a slot guy, because he's going to be playing the slot.
Right.
In the Pro Bowl.
Right.
That, I go 100%. He's had 18 tackles in the run game. Which is more than any other cornerback has had in the league. When throwing at him in the slot, quarterback's QBR rating is 55.3, which is fourth for all slot corners in the league. He's had two interceptions. He's given up zero touchdowns. For every route that he has covered, if you basically took the yardage.
He saved a touchdown.
What's that?
Week one against Jared Cook when he stripped the ball.
Oh, yeah. And so
that was Dansby in coverage.
On top of the boring stats, he's made the plays, the Honey Badger plays.
Right.
He's done, the Jared Cook touchdown save.
And he's got a sack.
He's got the game-winning stop against the Lions. He was rookie of the year. He was rookie of the month for the month of October. His stats, he's got a couple sacks. A couple interceptions. Basically, I know he's got similar stats to Antrell Roll, who is the team leader for the Giants defense. That's who he is. He's the team leader for the Giants defense.
Yeah, that's...
don't be confused.
That was great that we let him go, by the way.
And he's doing good.
He's doing good, but
he's doing good.
With that contract?
He's got to be happy.
If we had that contract, if the Cardinals had that contract, they could not afford to extend Patrick Peterson.
No. As far as routes, and this is boring stat, but per every route that he covers, he's averaging giving up less than a yard. So meaning, if he's covered, I'm just going to throw out some goofy numbers. He's covered 8 times, or he's gone out in coverage 80 times, and he's given up 80 yards. That'd mean he give up 1 yard per coverage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just so he's given up less than a yard per route that he covers. That's 6th in the league for slot corners. So put that with his pass rushing. He's the top pass rushing cornerback. He's got 10 total pressures on the quarterback, 1 sack, 2 hits, 7 hurries.
You just threw that paper down like...
Sold.
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 I rest my case.
I rest my case. I'm sold on old Honey Badger.
This is... That's my gavel. I'm the judge. I just said he's in.
Yeah, I'd put him in for a slot corner. Not, you know, not covering, not out there covering Calvin Johnson.
Right. Because that's not his game.
In that role. And what I said in the preseason, when we first drafted him, I was excited because we were going to get a guy back that we had in 2011, but a better version, and that was Richard Marshall. Remember we had Richard Marshall?
I really liked him, actually.
Yeah, I did too, and I was kind of disappointed and he went.
You know,
he left.
That's a great comparison.
Yes, he's our Richard Marshall.
He's our Richard Marshall, but yes, better.
But better. And that's and what I cheaper. Said in the pre- That's what I said in the preseason. In the preseason, before the preseason.
Do you know where Richard Marshall plays?
Chargers. No.
Yes.
Yes. Interesting. But he was phenomenal, and Ray Horton called him the defensive MVP and screwed us all because then we couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
When he called him that. And he was that year. He was.
He was very good.
And I made a Richard Marshall comparison.
The only difference between them is Richard Marshall actually played outside sometimes.
Yeah, I saw that we would use him quite a bit in a lot of different scenarios. We'd get him after the quarterback. And it's exactly what we're doing, and he is that guy, but better. Richard Marshall.
That was a good pull, Joe.
Yeah, it was a good pull. It was a good pull back in April, too. People don't remember this stuff, though.
Oh, I do.
People don't remember.
I remember.
When, so that's where we're at. What else you got?
Patrick Peterson. You're a...
That's a
drum roll.
I'm going no.
Ooh.
I'm Patrick Peterson.
Ooh.
And only
you're going to piss off a lot of people.
And I'm going no. And I'm going no. He has issues. He has issues. And there's certain things that...
Define issues.
Well, one, he's not a punt returner. He's not in the punt game anymore.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well.
Like he was in season one.
He has not. It's like been a steady decline. He is not the same rookie Patrick Peterson in the punt return game.
All right, let me.
Do you think that's because he's focusing more of his time on being a corner?
No, it's a natural thing for him. I don't think he has to concentrate at all. I think he's
and
just.
You just don't think you think.
I think that
you
he
think
being,
other special teams.
I think
are
they've
putting,
got him. I think they've got him wrapped up. I think they know how to handle him.
They've got enough tape on him now, and they just say, all right, we got
you.
Yeah,
special team coaches have figured him out enough, and they coach their guys up.
I mean, they were, for a while there in his first season, after he got a couple of those touchdowns, a lot of teams weren't even punting to him. They were just punting out of bounds. Now it's like, we'll punt right at you.
Yeah, they're punting right at him.
And you're going to lose 2 yards.
Yeah, and he's losing 2 yards. Let me get my I'll pull up a little – some. Before I even bother with the Pro Football Focus statistics, if you will, I think the glaring things, I've been using the term glaring a lot.
That's okay. I do that.
The
a
glaring
lot.
Things are what, when you look at when he went up against Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson, he's given up a couple of touchdowns. He's only showing on Pro Football Focus as having given up 3 touchdowns on the season. I don't feel that's correct. If that's
it's
correct.
PFF. Was that including
Sunday's
game?
Oh, no. 5 touchdowns. There we go.
Okay, so that's with Andre Johnson's touchdowns.
He's given up 5 touchdowns this season.
But again, and I've been using this word a lot, preface. Got to preface this with those
to
touchdowns to Andre Johnson, one started on the 5-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and they were both amazing catches by Andre Johnson. I mean, you couldn't have played better coverage.
And amazing throws by Case Keenum.
Okay, I'm not going to go that far. I'll go as far as saying those were amazing. So, I'm not going to ding Patrick too much for that. If at all.
No.
Those were amazing catches. Only superstars make those catches.
Yes.
Can't disagree with that.
The Patrick Peters, especially the second one on Andre Johnson, played perfect, popped it in the air, didn't have enough on it to pop it. To knock it down, but got a hand on it, popped it.
And he was like 10 feet in the air. That dude's so freaking...
I mean, it was a phenomenal play by Peterson and then an even more phenomenal play by Andre Johnson.
Exactly. So how can you ding Patrick for that?
It's hard to. I agree. It is hard to ding him. You know, he's given up a lot of... He's when you look at the pure numbers, like those five touchdowns, those are really his only major issues that he's had. And I think he's going to...
Those aren't major at all.
No, because they were phenomenal plays.
I think you're changing your mind right now.
No,
you are.
When we talked about it earlier...
I see it.
I've been arguing in that Calvin Johnson matchup that Patrick Peterson won. I actually been making the argument that he won the whole time.
I agree, too. He had that 180-yard slant that Dansby let go through his hands.
Yeah.
Should have been an interception.
Yeah.
Instead, it ends up in Calvin's hands, and he takes it 80 yards for a TD.
Yes.
That easily could have been a different story.
Yeah, it could have easily been a different story.
And his stats would look much different.
Yes. And that game, I mean, again, you had another, I believe, Peterson got picked and then wasn't able to recover in that other end zone touchdown, that leaping grab that Calvin Johnson had for the second touchdown in that quarter.
That one, I mean, that's...
Again, though, you got to compare, though. There's other guys that are playing really good football, and that's my only thing. There's a lot of cornerbacks who haven't given that stuff up yet. And... I don't know, you know.
How many cornerbacks are honestly going to be ahead of him?
So I think Patrick Peterson will be a Pro Bowler. I just don't know that he should necessarily be. I saw him have issues with the smaller guys, the shifty, fast guys, the Golden Tates.
Yes.
And that's...
He did.
He gives up some yak there.
He does. And that's, I think, the one hole in his game. I'm glad you brought it up.
He's given up 153 yards of yak in the season.
When you're asked to move from both sides on the outside, not even Darrell Revis does this anymore. He stays on one side and locks it down. Patrick, he's moved both sides and slot sometimes too.
Like, here, take a look at Brandon Browner. Brandon Browner has given up. And he's
injured, by the way, so.
Yeah. He's given up 23 yards of yak on the season.
Total?
Total.
Wow.
23 yards. He stays in front. He's only had one interception. Ew, that was against...
The Cardinals.
Did he catch that for... He didn't take that for six, did he?
I don't believe so.
I'm already forgetting. I'm already starting to draw blanks on things. Giving up 20 receptions. You know, he's got 23 yards of yak on the season. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys playing a lot of good football. And, you know, Patrick Peterson's been tested. And... In a lot of scenarios, he won, but then when at the end of the game you see the guy he's covering had caught two touchdown passes twice, people might look at that and go, oh, Patrick Peterson.
Well, that's why we're determining whether he should be. We don't care about other people, Joe.
But at the same time, I think Patrick Peterson's going to be.
We care about Cardinals fans.
I think he's going... Here's the thing. I'm going to vote him as a Pro Bowler.
Right, because you're a Cardinal fan.
Yeah.
See, not only do I think he will be a Pro Bowler, I think he should be. Based on those same numbers you just talked about and how we broke it down and said that touchdown was, you know, he did the best he could.
Is that us making excuses for our guy, though?
It's hard to say because I'm only on one side. But those were amazing catches by Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
No cornerback could have defended that.
No, there wouldn't be. And that's
Deion Sanders couldn't have defended that.
And even Deion Sanders gave up some touchdowns.
Exactly. Peterson to the Pro Bowl.
Wow, we're putting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're the Chiefs, bro. We're the 2012 Chiefs.
Was that our final defensive player?
Did I just say bro?
Browski. That's all right. Was that our final guy then? Our final Pro Bowler?
So we got Matthew, Campbell, Zastadil, Bethel, Peterson, and possibly Washington for you. No for me.
No for you.
So that's 6 for you, 5
for
me.
Are we both yes on Dansby?
I'm going to say no on Dansby.
And here's the thing. It's any of them. They all I think they all could very well be deserving. The defense has been phenomenal.
It's a numbers game. There's too many people ahead of some of these guys.
And that's a thing. And because of Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis, if we start playing it and looking at it, well, who's ahead of them? Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis.
I think the Cardinals definitely will get 2 or 3 guys in.
We may lose a Dansby or a Washington.
Or a Matthew.
Or we lose both of them. No, you know, fans are going to vote Matthew.
Just because he's the honey badger?
Yeah. The guy is nationally loved. Coaches love him.
You could lose.
He's a good story.
You could lose a Zastadil.
You could lose a Zastadil.
He's
sure.
not. I mean, there's
who the hell pays.
This
attention?
Is going to sound weird. Nobody pays attention to punters, but there are punters that are better known than Dave Zastadil because he's a Cardinal.
Yeah.
How many people follow Cardinals?
Yeah, you know, it'll be whoever.
I mean, you'll get a Andy Lee in from the 49ers, or you'll get a.
Yeah, and I don't expect him or Bethel really to make the Pro Bowl.
Bethel's gaining a little steam. I don't know.
Field goal block. Big field goal block. That felt good.
That was the game changer. Think about it. If he didn't block that before the half,
yeah,
it's going to OT.
That one felt really good, actually. Very happy about that. And it's because it's something that we used to be so good at and used to see all the time.
DRC.
Finally coming back.
That was DRC. That was always his specialty.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we start, you know, we were seeing it. Calais Campbell used to get a lot of hands on him.
Oh, yeah, and he still does. That's still one of his best assets that people overlook. So another reason he should go to the Pro Bowl. Yeah. Not that he's gotten one this year, but. I think that's.
Is that all our Pro Bowlers?
That's all.
That's all of them.
Let's wrap this baby up.
What do you
up.
Think? Should we? You want to talk? You want to talk Jaguar football real quick before
no,
we go?
No.
You don't want to. You care less.
Yeah, I think this think game the Cardinals. I mean, we can discuss it next week after the game. But
you're expecting a win.
I'm expecting a win. I don't. I mean, I'm actually glad the Jaguars got their first win out of the way.
Yes.
A little less pressure.
That and it's actually a big deal.
Yeah.
It takes that pressure off the Cardinals, because otherwise, who the hell wants to be the Jaguars' first loss of the season?
Yeah, first win of the season.
Or, yeah, the first win of the season. Get the first, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. I was very happy to see
you,
the Titans. Thank you, Titans, for taking that one away. That takes the pressure off from here. Yeah, I completely expect a win.
I don't see how you can't. I mean, I don't see how. That offense is so defunct, how they're even going to do anything against the Cardinals defense. I just don't see it.
No.
Chad Henne, ugh.
You never know, but I mean.
Maurice Jones-Drew played fairly well last week, but I don't. They've been so good against the run, the Cardinals, so stout. I don't see him getting even past 50 yards, to be honest. He looks slow and tired.
Who, MJD?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. Obviously, I hope they're worried about the Jaguars. I hope they're preparing like they're worried about the Jaguars.
Oh, me too. I think that was probably the Titans' problem last week.
Yeah. I want to see the Cardinals' offense. I mean, they still put up 27 points. The offense wasn't phenomenal. The interception that Carson threw, didn't care about it. I don't care about certain interceptions. That's just how I am.
To break them down by a case.
There's only
case
been,
basis.
And that was what I was getting to about Carson Palmer earlier. There's only a handful of interceptions that really drove me nuts this year. Yeah, he's thrown 15. My thing was, he's only thrown a handful that have really, really drove me nuts. The rest of them seem him trying to make a play. Keep trying, because we don't have that great of an offense. So I don't care. Keep throwing he's not going to get scared. He's not going to get scared. He's not going to get, you know, he's not going to get broken. He's not going to get that mental thing that Matt Schaub had where he has to, I mean, he does have to throw them, it seems like, but. Matt Schaub seems mentally broken. Like, he seems like he's going to check himself into a psych ward, too, with Jonathan Martin.
With the Texans. I think Matt Schaub, honestly, could still salvage his career on another team.
Oh, yeah, on another team. Case Keenum's, he's going to be the quarterback
there
next
Cardinals.
Year.
No, Matt Schaub to
no.
Cardinals.
Oh, and by the
Schaub
way.
Schaub to AZ, hashtag.
I've been telling everybody. For 6 months that we were going to start getting Ben Roethlisberger trade rumors here. And here they are.
And there they are.
I think I mentioned them last week on the podcast, or the one 2 weeks ago.
I don't remember.
Yeah, go back and listen. Go back and listen to the one after Atlanta.
Nobody's going to do that.
I'm telling you. I've been talking about it for the last months.
And I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't want it to happen. I don't think it'll happen. I don't want it to happen.
I'd be okay with it happening. I just don't think it's going to.
I wouldn't be okay with it.
I see, and this is just a rumor I'm going to make up. I see more validity to a Schaub to Arizona than a Roethlisberger.
Well, yeah, because he's going to be gone there.
He's going to be gone. Roethlisberger, why would they get rid of him? They need a few more pieces, and they could be back to Steeler ways again.
I don't know.
Because Big Ben's still Big Ben.
What was the rumor? He was demanding a trade in the offseason?
Yeah.
And then he said, no, I'm going to retire.
A Steeler.
I don't buy any of it. I don't care about any. I don't buy any of it. Look, if he views B.A. as his dad, you know, B.A. views him as a second son, and he said that, I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, and by the way, enough Steelers fans calling us the Pittsburgh of the West, okay? Why don't you tell me how Levi Brown is doing? Tell me how LaRod Stevens-Howling is doing. Tell me who's our friggin' old, defunct, terrible Todd Haley. How's he working out for you? Call us the Steelers of the West. How dare you? You're the Cardinals of the North.
We just trade players and coaches back and forth.
You're the Cardinals of the North. Kick rocks. Sorry.
We trade. I like trading with the Steelers. Actually, I don't.
We lose every time. We lose every time.
Yeah, we do lose those trades, don't we? Every time.
Did
Except
we lose?
For the Todd Haley one.
Yeah.
But he made a stop in KC first.
Have fun with Todd Haley. He's the reason you're losing. But now we got BA and they're like, hey, you enjoying those play calls? And we're like, yeah, screw you.
Anyways, let's wrap this up.
You do want to wrap it up. All right.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, it's been real nice. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for coming out, Tyler. I typically like to do these on Sundays. I think I've been trying, but something keeps happening. Oh, this week I had to help my sister move. Oh, man. I had a guy.
Maybe this next Sunday.
I almost got arrested at our apartment complex. They did charge her. There was nothing I could do. I almost got arrested. Did you know that when you move out of an apartment complex, they put this little fine print that says you must give 60 days notice?
60?
60 days on this apartment complex. Kick rocks, Bellarosa.
What if was her lease up?
Her lease is up. She went in there and was like, hey, I'm going to, yeah. She was just talking to the management and because she was paying her bill or her paying her rent and said, yeah, I'm going to be moving out. And they were like, oh, no, you're not. You didn't give us 60 days notice. She's like, no, I'm not extending. I'm just playing out through my lease. I'm not resigning here. I wasn't planning on re-upping my contract. And they were like, nope, sorry. You're extended automatically because you didn't give a 60 day notice.
Oh. So they extended her for 60 days?
No. Actually, it turned out it was just prorated per day. So they were only charging extra money. It was a couple hundred bucks. Still pissed. Yeah, bucks. Well, what are you going to do? You got to pay it. I got angry. Game. I was pissed. I went down there. I started very nice, friendly guy, escalated it, but, you know, maybe a little snarky, to the point where I was like slamming my wallet down and throwing my hands in the air and flailing, yelling a bunch.
You were that guy, huh?
I was pretty angry. I'm not going to lie.
Nice.
So, screw them. Anyway.
Maybe this Sunday after the Jags? After the Cardinals
beat
the
Jaguars? Yes, I typically would like to do Sunday podcasts. And then we can get up while we're all up and excited. So, do you have a Twitter shout-out, follower of the week, since Mike McStats
doesn't?
All right,
yeah,
give me one.
Mike McStats isn't here, so why don't I do one this week, right? Take over his duties.
Yes.
First of all, I'm at Tyler Nickel ASU. That's Nickel spelled just like the coin, N-I-C-K-E-L.
All right, who's your Twitter shout-out of the week?
My Twitter shout-out is... if I can find it.
Why can't you find it?
I got it. All
right, here we go.
His handle is at I am hardcore with a K and a 3 at the end instead of an E.
Ah.
I went to the game this past weekend, as I noted earlier, and I met him there. Cool dude.
He is a cool dude.
Follow him. He's only got 88 followers. I'm reading it right now.
That's because he's a jerk and he keeps dumping his Twitter account.
Yeah, but he needs more now.
All right. He's been listening to us for 2 years, and he's finally getting his first Twitter shout-out follow
of
the week.
Good.
I believe it's,
It's I'm Hardcore.
It used to just be Hardcore.
H-A-R-D-K-O-R-3.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All right. I'm at Zoopaloop. Follow the podcast at Bird Gang Podcast again. You find us on sports360az.com and azcardstock.com. I'm Joe. He's Tyler. Thank you for listening.